You know, I think that as we ponder on the things of life and one thing to another, we don't have to guess, but we know for a fact that we have been richly blessed. And I want to bring a few thoughts to us this evening, some thoughts that are very important because it has to do with the welfare of our soul. You know, I could ask you each, you know, how you feeling? You might say, I feel good and everything, and you know, I'm fine. But, you know, brothers and sisters, we're all in a warfare. We're in a warfare for the welfare of our soul. And you know, as I listen to the news, it tells you how many people that are dying by, oh, they kill each other and they kill themselves and everything, you know, and they commit suicide. And you know, when they commit suicide, why, we know that they bury them and they're dead and they're gone. But you know, in reality, you and I have a choice to make and to commit suicide and still be here. And that's a spiritual suicide. It has to do to how we walk. It has to do to how we live our life. The world, though they don't understand sometimes, the world that is here and that is all over, you know, we're here for one purpose. Each of us here this evening and all those in the world are here for one purpose, and that's to choose. That's to choose where they want to live from all eternity to all eternity. And whether they like it or not, they're making that choice. Especially if they've been taught the gospel or have come to the knowledge of Christ and of those things. And we know that that's hard sometimes for people, depend on how they're raised and everything and one thing and another. But you know, the scriptures are really specific that tells us that he has sufficiently instructed us and caused to be written so that we would know the way. And in his love that we have, each day we're moved by his love, by his protection, by his blessings. You know, he has richly blessed those who will yield to the caress of his teachings and yield to the fact that we're here to choose what we want to do. So, though we're alive, we can commit sin. And that's a spiritual death that we're working towards when we do that. That's what it is. It's a spiritual suicide when we choose to rebel against God and when we choose not to listen to him or to read the scriptures or there's no value in them. Yet when you read them, you find of the teachings of his prophets over the generations of time that you and I have been blessed to live in the period of time that many of them have been fulfilled. And we wonder how that person clear back in 200, clear back into the BC, how'd they know that? They knew it by the inspiration and the power and the teaching of the one that created them, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's how they knew. And as we're here today, you know, when they, if they shoot themselves, you know, and that they die like that, you know, there's nothing that can help them. But you know, we have somebody that can help us. We have someone that can help us. You know, if our spirit is sick, we have a God that's the doctor of our soul. We have a God that can take care of the spirit if we'll yield. And he's given us our right to choose. We have that right. I can stand and tell you the things I believe and everything, and the brothers that come can do the same thing, and as we visit one with another, we can have that hope and all this and that, but it's all in your ballpark. You're the only one that can save you through Jesus Christ if you live according to the standard that he has set before us. And how important that is. And yes, he is the doctor of our soul. He is that doctor. He is the one that has the power and the right to help us. And I'm going to start with a scripture this evening. I'm going to start in the 22nd chapter of Matthew's. I'm going to begin there. I'm going to begin in the 36th verse, and it's not new to any of you. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Wow, there's the doctor talking. There's the doctor talking. This is the first and great commandment. And we're walking day by day in that spiritual suicide time according to the things that we decide to follow after him. And to know what he said to do and not to do. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hangs all the law of the prophets. That love. That charity. The charity that gives us the ability to find the strength that finds the medicine that will assist us to raise up and be strong in the spirit and live not in a way that would cause us that suicide, but in a way that would cause us to be able to rejoice and be happy and to feel the presence of the Lord, and to witness the spiritual things that he pours out upon the people that believe and do those things. How important that is. And you know, it's important that we realize that he has done just exactly that. You know, I would say that God is, he's a druggist. He's the one that has a drugstore for healing the spirit. And that drugstore is naturally his pills or things like charity, like that love, like forgiveness. Yeah. You know, the things that's so important to us, you know, that we repent. That we have a great desire to partake of that pill that gives us the mental and the heart to desire to follow after the Son of God that came and said, These things which I teach, they're not of me, but the Father which sent me, so that we would know, so we could understand. And not only did he do that, but he lived it, so that we could see by example the things that he taught, he believed and knew they were true, because he lived it. And he worried just like he is today. He's worried about the children of men. He's worried about us. And he was worried about them then. As he looked upon them when he was up on the mountain, he looked upon Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I gather you as a hen would gather her chicks, and ye would not?" It doesn't do any good to understand that on the shelf or in the teachings of the books that you have the medicines, the pills, the shots, the things that's essential for a strong spiritual walk with the Lord if we don't take it. Or if we think, "Well, I don't need that today. I'll take something else instead." And then you end up doing something that is run by a man or run by the one that wants to destroy the man. We're in that life every day, whether you want to be or not. We're in the life that we have to make up our mind who we love and who we have a desire to serve and who it is that we need to thank for the joy and the happiness and the peace and the protection and the strength and the blessings we receive daily. Daily. How important that is. And you know, we have been blessed. We have been blessed. We have most certainly been blessed. I look out, I see brothers that's been out in the field that are here today. And the Lord has heard our prayers and have blessed them and kept them safe. And isn't that what the Lord said? He says, "We're living in the last times. We're living in the last days." And he says that this is it. And you know what he said about that? He said, "Well," he says, "we're living there at the last time." But he says, "You know," he says, "the labors are few." We're constantly praying for ministry. He says the labors are few, and indeed they are, for the work that's to be done in the world. They are few. But he says, "Go forth and prune with all your might." And he says, "And the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with you." And that Lord of the vineyard has done just exactly that. He has blessed us. He has blessed our brothers that are in the field. He has blessed the workers where he has them. He has poured out his Spirit and he has warned them. I know that because I have witnessed that. When I was with Dawn and they set traps to kill us and stuff because they wanted the stuff that we had, you know. You know, I saw a vision. I saw him coming and kicking the door down when we were in a season of prayer with some Maya Indians. He has kept his promise. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if we keep the promise that he has given us and take of the pills that he has preserved for us and caused to be written so that we know what's supposed to be on that bottle, to partake of that love, to partake of that charity, to partake of the forgiveness, to partake of the repentance, all those things, and have the desire within us to apply those things to our life. How neat that is. And how important that is. You know, I was in one Sunday and my grandson was preaching. And he brought out a fantastic point that has to do with us as we're going through this world spiritually, making up our mind whether we're going to commit suicide, and not obey God, or if we're just going to do as we please. That's what we're doing. That's what the world's doing. That's where we're at. And, you know, and he was preaching, Adam said, you know, he says, you're supposed to forgive. How true. And he says, you know, if you forgive somebody, that doesn't mean they're going to forgive you. But you've done what's required of you. You have forgiven them. And that's what it amounts to, brothers and sisters, that we apply that gospel of Christ to our life. We try to teach, we try to hope, we try to do those things, and we pray for others and everything else. But they've got to do it on their own, and you and I have to do it on our own. If you or I commit that suicide to where he'd have to say, you know, you're going to have to go with Satan and a third of the host of angels that's been cast down. You can't come and live with me and my Father. The only thing we can do is just thank ourselves, because that's the life that we lived. That's the life that we lived. And so we can't say, well, you know, Don made me do it. No. I can't say, Louise made me do it. No. We have our choice. We have our choice. And he doesn't take that away from us. He doesn't come down and drag us by the hair of the head. He doesn't come down and twist our arm. No. He don't come down and handcuff us and drag us along. He has a hope that you and I will, as we live in this world, and know that we can either walk right or walk in a way that we have committed spiritual suicide. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's why he asked us to go out and to teach all over. And that's why he said the gospel of the kingdom is going to be taught in all the world. And then the end shall come. So that they would know and be able to have the opportunity to know him and know of his love and his compassion and his mercy and the desire of his heart. That they would so order their life that they could come and live with him. That's his desire. That's his desire. That's why he came and graced this earth and taught the gospel, walked this earth. That's why he was whipped. That's why he was beat. That's why he had nails driven through him, and he gave his life. Because he had a hope for us. He has a hope for everybody in this room. Just like he has a hope for the one that you see in the grocery store, or at work, or at school, or at play. He has a hope for the welfare of their soul. That's what it's about. That they live a life that doesn't create a spiritual suicide. That's why he's caused the books to be written, to teach us and to edify us and say, this is the pill that says you're supposed to forgive. This is the pill that says you're supposed to repent. This is the pill that says you're supposed to love. This is the pill that says you're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to use bad language. Those pills are sponsored by God. And they're taught in these books. And if you study these books, you know what those pills look like, because he tells you. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't say, well, you know, that's all right, but you know, it's sort of dark. You can't see for sure. Yeah? No. Not if you really have a desire in your heart to walk in the way that's prescribed by our Father in heaven. If you have that desire, I'm here to tell you that He's going to help you. He's going to help you. There's no fiddling around about it or anything else. He's going to help you. And so, you know, as we come tonight, I want to read a few scriptures. I'm going to start over here in the Book of Mormon on page 82. And I want to read that's the first chapter of the second book of Nephi. And I'm going to read the 65th through the 69th probably. He says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Wow. That tells us that His Spirit that's going out to touch you and to move you to follow after His Son is the same Spirit and has the same power as it has all through the generations of time. Because every one of the whole human family of Adam, who's that leave out? Anybody? No. Not a one. They're all precious to Him. I'm here to say that there's some of us here that's got families and stuff here right now and have families and had families or whatever the case may be. Well, ask one of the sisters. Ask one of the dads. Is there any of their children they want to throw away? Or did they have a hope for them that they would learn to know the Lord and to take up His cross and follow Him? That's been the desire of the hearts of the children of men. That's the desire of the heart of the one that created you and I and this old house and breathed in it that life that lives there called the Spirit. That's His desire. He says, this old house here is not going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? You're not going to, this old body's not going to there. But the Spirit that lives inside of you can. Yes. That's what He's interested in. That's why He tells you at the resurrection, He says that there won't be one hair of your head lost. I'm getting sort of used to that. That's pretty nice. And there's others in the room that probably has the same thing. But you know, He says, if you've lost a finger, you'll have it back. I had him cut off of one of my toes there because of my diabetes on my feet. But when He comes in the resurrection, I'll have four toes, five toes with a big one. He tells us. He's interested. He's interested in the welfare of our soul. He's so interested that He says, if they're sick among you, call for the elders and they'll anoint them with oil that's been consecrated and set aside, and the Spirit will touch and bless. Boy, how many of us in this room have witnessed that? Yes. You know, when you stop and think about it, He's worried about it when you have a little tiny baby. Oh boy, how neat that is. He says that their angel beholds the faith of my Father daily. And He says, and you're to bless them and set them aside. Can you imagine that? Those little old tiny ones that don't know right from wrong, don't know anything, but He says, you bless them and set them aside. And there'll be an angel set to their charge. How about that? Would you say that that's a way of hate? Or is it a way of love? The gospel of Jesus Christ is a way of love for the souls of the children of men. So we can experience His love and experience that power. and experience the directions that He's given us. So we don't have to listen to the world, we don't have to listen to Satan or the devil, who the scripture says is the father of lies. No. But we can know that those things which are written to edify us are true. And when we lay hold of those things and believe, we witness those things. We witness those things. And the more that we apply, the more that we see. The more that we see. You know, I've told before, and I'd say again, you know, I was back at conference one year. It's been several years ago now. And the late Apostle Bell was there. And after the preaching service there that evening, we went over to Tony Grinzik's house. And he had old cookies and sandwiches and coffee, and he had stuff like that, you know, and iced tea and things to snack on and to do that, you know. And I was sitting there visiting with Brother Bell, and you know, I was talking to different ones there. And, you know, a brother came over, and he was an elder in the church, and he said to him, he said, you know, he said, I got a question to ask you. And he was talking to our apostle at that time, and he looked at him, he smiled, and he says, well, you best better ask it. And he says, I want to know. He says, how do you strengthen your faith? And you know what that brother told him? He says, increase your labor, and you'll experience the power and the touch of His love. How true that is. How true that is. When you do those things, you experience that love. It comes alive. And you witness it, and you have the opportunity to see it. And you can talk to a lot of people in the world, and they don't believe it. But I'm here to tell you that once you've experienced it, nobody's going to tell you that's not so. Because you're a witness, and you know you've seen it. You know that He has touched someone in His love. That He has done something for them. And so, you know, I feel like that we've been richly blessed, because we carry here, we know that the scripture says that we're going to be judged of these things in the books. He says there in the 20th chapter of Revelation that the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And He says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. It's how we decide to take those pills. It's how we decide to find that and to know that doctor's correct and that He has the power to heal the spirit. That's what that's saying. He has the power to heal the spirit. Excuse me. He has that power. And, you know, and He uses that power to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to give us that hope. That's another thing that He gives us. He gives us that hope. All of it. Yeah, all of that stuff comes from that doctor. All of it comes from the drugs that He has for the spiritual being. That's where it comes from. And that's how important it is. And we know that if He prescribes something, we know we better take it. Because after all, He's the one that has set it all in order. And how important it is that we do just exactly that. And you know, I'm going to, I'm going to read again. I'm going to start in the 61st verse on the 65th verse there on page 82 in your Book of Mormon. He says, "For the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free." Wow. You don't have to go down and argue with the banks to try to get some money to buy that salvation. It just has to be applied to our life. We just have to apply it to our life. And he says it's free. "And men are instructed sufficiently." Wow. "That they know good from evil." Have we been? Are you? Have you studied enough that you have been instructed sufficiently to know the way to eternal life? To help your children, to help your brother and sister, to help your husband, to help your wife, to be able to visit with them and tell them of the hope that comes through Jesus Christ, and that He is the only way. There isn't another way other than through the Lord. He's the only way that can help you not commit suicide while you're here. And he reaches out and he says, "Don't procrastinate your period of time of probation. Apply the gospel of Christ to your life daily." And he tells us, you know, he says that we're supposed to have a light, the Lord says. There in Matthew's, he says, we're supposed to have a light, and that light is to glorify my Father which is in heaven. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about what kind of candle power you got? Did you? Did you ever decide whether it was good or bad or indifferent, or what did you decide? Huh? You see this flashlight here? I want to show you something. I carry it around, but I found out a long time ago that I can press this button. Do you see the light? No? You see the light? You see it? No. Because there's part of that that has the power that causes those lights to light up. Right there. There's the one that has the power. And you know, you can carry it all the time you want to, but if you don't put it together, you don't have a light. That's the same way with you and I. We have the power to bear light for our Father in heaven. But before we can do that, we have to learn to keep the commandments of the Lord. Before we can do that, we have to realize, I put batteries in this. But the light that goes into our spiritual flashlight is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the one that directs the light and gives us the power to see when it's dark. He's the one that gives us that power to walk in the proper way and to obey Him and to recognize the truth, so that the truth, like He says, will make us free. He's that. And if He's not in your life, you don't have a light. You can say you do, and you can say whatever you want to. If He isn't directing your life, and He isn't in your life, you just will figure you're blind. That's what it amounts to. You don't have a light. If you start to just play around and say, well, yeah, I know He is, or all this or that and everything, but you know, that's real good. And you might have a little dinky light there, but how bright is it? Is it bright enough to cause somebody to wonder? Hey, how they know? Look how they live. Look at the fun that they have. Look at the enjoyment that they have. Look at the things that they have that the world don't have. Boy, that's a lot, guys. That's a lot. I just tell you that we've been richly blessed because He has indeed directed us and brought us to this point where we have a right to know the way. And we have a right to know who is the doctor of the Spirit. It's not a human doctor that you go down and see. No. It's the one that created them. That's why when you send somebody to a doctor, you pray for them and you pray that the doctor will be given wisdom beyond their own. And that if they're going to operate, that they would guide their hands. And those things, why? Because they're dependent upon you too, because it just so happens that they're living in this old life and they're making a decision in their life whether they're committing suicide or they're not. That's what it amounts to. And so we ask ourselves sometimes when we look in the mirror and everything, are you committing suicide? Are you listening to the teachings of the one that has the light? Are you listening to that? Are you paying attention to what He says and how He's instructing you to be able to follow after Him? Are you teaching your children that it's important to find out about the Lord? Are you teaching your children that when they come here, that it's important for them to listen? Because the brothers that He's called that is up here teaching, if they're right, they're being directed by the power of God. That's what they teach here. You know, before you teach, before you speak, you know, your ministry goes and visits with the Lord and them, let us know what we're to talk on, Lord. Let us know what they need. You're the only one that knows what the people need. We need to be directed of Thee so that we know that the time that they have spent here, that they've been fed by the Spirit to encourage the growth of the Spirit, that it would have the strength and the power to resist Satan. That it would have the strength and the power to help others. That it would have the light that would give them a right to see the path where they must walk to come to the Lord. That's what that means. That's what that means. And you know, we have all kinds of stuff and we have everything. And you know what He is? He happens to be the compass that directs our way. And you know, when you go different places in the world, why, the compass isn't all the same. But if you're looking for the North Star, why, when you're here, why, the North Star would be so many degrees here. When you get in a different place in the world, those degrees might be more or less or something to bring it out. It just, so that we'll know where we're going and what we're doing. So does Christ. He helps us. You know, I know that children sometimes get perturbed because their parents correct them. You know why your parents correct you? Huh? They correct you because they love you. That's why God corrects us sometimes. Because He loves us. That's the purpose of it. If we'll wake up and receive that correction, It will be for the welfare of our soul. That's what it's about. Because they don't want anything to happen to you. You know, I stopped my great-grandson there that Adam's holding the other day. And he was here, and he was running through the church just to going at it, and he had a sucker in his mouth. And I stopped him, and I told him, you know, don't be running with that sucker in your mouth. Take it out when you're going to run. Because if you fell on it, it could kill you or be real bad. Don't do that. That's what God does for you and I. He says, don't run with the meal that Satan has set for you. Don't do those things. I know the Bible there that tells you that the devil, it says the devil can stand before you the light of an angel. Book of Mormon says the devil can stand before you nigh in the light of an angel. Because he can't hold a full heavenly light. It's important that we understand that he has sufficiently written and caused to be written so you and I would know the way. That we wouldn't have to guess on it. Yeah, he has. And that he has caused two books to be written, and we heard a discussion in different places there today, and you know he tells us that the other 10 tribes of the house of Israel are going to write, and so he told them, he says, in the Book of Mormon, he says, you write down, you pen that I've received the word of God to go to another one of the tribes of Israel who's never seen me, never heard me. But they're going to write all 10 tribes. And the scripture says when they go back over to the land of Canaan and gather home, we're going to have those records if we're alive, or whoever's alive will have the record. Then you know it'll teach the same gospel. If it's directed by the Lord, it will teach the same gospel. You won't have to guess on it. It'll teach the same thing. That's why over there in the Bible, he tells them, he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He says, them also I must bring. And he says, and they shall hear my voice. And there'll be one fold and one shepherd. That we have that opportunity to hear his voice, to hear that spirit direction us. That's what he says, that spirit of truth. He says the world can't have it because they haven't done what was required. But he says, you got it. If we're allowed to work, we can turn it off. We don't have to take any of the pills. We can refuse. We want to rob banks. We want to do all kinds of stuff. We don't have to take the pills that God gave us to heal our spirit. We can just do as we please. Look out. Because whether we like it or not, what we do will stand either for us or against us when we stand before him and the books are open. Because those books are open is going to tell us what we're to do and what we didn't do. How important it is according to our works. I got to get going here. I want to turn over on page 143 in the Book of Mormon. And there I'm going to read the second book of Nephi, the 11th chapter. And I want to read I want to read the 52nd verses through the 56. And now behold, my people, ye are a stiff-necked people, wherefore I have spoken plain unto you, that ye cannot misunderstand. And And the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you. For they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. He has caused to be written and preserved those scriptures that would teach us the right way. He never once said you go kill. He never once said you use profanity. He never once says that you're supposed to do this or you're supposed to do that. He says we're not supposed to. Because he has sent us here in this period of time that we are deciding what we're going to do about suicide spiritually. Or are we going to live according to the law and not have a suicide spiritually? That's what it's about. Bar none. That's what it's about. Let's go a little further here. I want to read down, I want to read here in 143, I want to read to 52. I just read part of that. And the words which I had, 53, and the words which the words which I have spoken shall stand as a testimony against you, for they are sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, for by denying him you also deny the prophets and the law. And now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Christ is the Holy One of Israel. How about that? Wherefore ye must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, ye shall in no wise be cast out. You're not going to commit spiritual suicide. He tells us the way. He tells us the way that we generate a power, that we have a light that will glorify him in the Holy Kingdom. He tells us that way. That if we do that, we'll have a light. If we do that, we can possibly help others. Isn't that the desire of our heart, is to help others? Yes. To let them know of the Lord, to let them know the one that gave his life for them, to let them know of the way that we can live, that we haven't committed suicide, but we have committed to eternal life with God the Father and His Son. How important is that? Is it important to us? You know, that's something that is really great because it's really that important. And it's so important that there in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he tells you there in the 14th verse that the gospel of the kingdom is going to go to all the world. And then the end shall come. What is the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is the truth. And he tells us it's the truth that makes you free. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's the truth that will make you free. You know, if you went over to the first chapter of Mosiah, go over there in 121st verse, I believe it is. He tells you that when that gospel of the kingdom goes to all the world, he says none is going to be found blameless, save the little children only. That they're going to have to make up their minds what they're going to do with their spiritual stand, whether it's going to be for suicide or life. They're going to have to do that. They're not going to be able to ride the fence with a bucket in each hand and decide, well, we're this and we're that. They're going to have to make up their mind to what they're going to do, whether they're going to receive Christ or not. That's what it amounts to. Brothers and sisters, because we have the gospel, because we belong to the wife of Christ, and the scriptures verify that, we have a responsibility to have that. We have that responsibility to bear that light to help the world. We have that responsibility to be willing to go forth and proclaim His holy law with love. Because that's what He did. He did it with love. He still does it with love. And so how important is it that we come to that knowledge and come to that understanding that He has sufficiently caused to be written? It says that the church and Christ are the same body. Did you know that? Did you know when they went to John and said, you know that guy that you baptized? He's out there and he's baptizing more than you are, and one thing and another. And John told him, he says, you know, it's the bridegroom that has the bride. It's the bridegroom that has the bride. He says, I'm just standing by and rejoicing at his voice. How neat it is. And so I just feel like that as we come here today, I feel like that we've been richly blessed. And I'm going to slow down here, and I'm going to stop here for a minute, and I'm going to read just a couple more verses, and I'm not going to go into more of it here. I'm going to go over in your Book of Mormon. Oh, let's go to the fifth chapter of Helaman. And I want to read the 85th verse there, and the 86th, that's on page 594, if you're interested. And he tells them this. He says, and remember, my brethren, that whosoever perisheth unto himself. Whoa. He's saying if we spiritually commit suicide, we're doing it on our own. That there's a requirement here. That's what he's saying. He perish unto himself, and whosoever doeth iniquity, doeth it unto himself. For behold, ye are free. Ye are permitted to act for yourself. For behold, God hath given unto you a knowledge, and he hath made you free. He hath given unto you that ye might know good from evil. He hath given unto you that you might choose life or death, and ye can do good and be restored unto that which is good, or have that which is good restored unto you. Or ye can do evil and have that which is evil restored unto you. That you're making your own choice. I'm making my own choice. Sometimes it scares me and I have to go back and repent. It's important that we realize that He has given us the right. He has given us a right, a spiritual right, to put that spiritual suicide aside. And remember Christ. And remember to live by Him and His teachings. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. There's a lot more that I could bring out, but I know that my time's gone. But I want to read another scripture. That I'm sure that you're aware of. That's in the fourth chapter of Matthew's. And there in the fourth chapter of Matthew's, I'm going to read the fourth verse. This is after Christ had been baptized. This is after Christ went out and fasted 40 days and nights. And he come back and old Satan stood before him and said, "Oh boy, you're hungry. Yeah, boy, you're hungry." You know what he asked him to do? He says here, I'm going to read it. "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted," this is the first verse, "of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and was afterwards hungry, and when the tempter came to him and said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Oh, he fasted 40 days and nights. You're hungry. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" Brothers and sisters, if you do not want to commit suicide spiritually, then you need to go to that word, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if you do that, you certainly will not commit a spiritual suicide. No. There's so many scriptures that tells you that the only thing we have to do is obey and follow Him. There's so many things that tells us that through Him is life. There's so much. I'm not going to read the rest of the scriptures. I'm going to call it a night for you. I'm sorry. But I do pray for you. And I pray that you're serious, that every day that you're living in that period of time of your spiritual suicide, you're making your decision to what you're going to do. What are you going to do? Are you going to take upon you the Lord? Are you going to let Him lead you? Are you going to take His pills of love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, repentance? Are we going to take those? Or do we think, well, we can get by without that? Can we really? No. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.